Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Frederick County Sports Weekend, brought to you by Nimeo Federal Credit Union with Pete McLeod and Ed Lilly. I'm Ed Lilly. Pete's not here today, but he will be back next week. And our guest today is the head coach of the Oakdale Bears men's football team, Kurt Stein. Kurt, welcome back.
Great to see you, Ed. It's exciting. If I'm down here in the basement with you, that means we're getting close. So
yeah,
I'm getting fired
about football.
Up.
I guess it's almost as you, maybe, but it's so much fun for me this time of the year to talk to all the coaches, to see all the excitement, to hear how the programs are changing, and there's so many things going on. A half hour is not long enough.
We'll do our best.
We will. This is your seventh year?
I think it's our eighth year as Oakdale High School, but it'll be our seventh varsity team. So we had 1 year of just JV there in the beginning.
Right. You guys really didn't take that long to become a fairly powerful team.
Didn't feel like that from the inside, but I appreciate it.
Looked at
that.
It. We were talking about it for years because we really expected to see it. And last year, you guys were 9-3. You had a heartbreaker in the playoffs against Damascus.
Yeah.
And I'm sure as soon as that was over, you guys got ready and said, "Okay, let's get ready for next year."
Got to hit the restart button. That's the way it works, you know. Give them a couple weeks to gain, and then you start over, you know.
Talk about the team in just a second. I want to talk about the conference. We talked a little off the air before the show started, and the conference is different now. There's so many teams that are playing. Pete and I did the schedule and pulled. I don't have much hair left, neither does Pete. And a lot of it was left on the floor after we tried to do the schedule this year because there are so many – we always like to try to do two Frederick County teams playing each other.
Right.
And the schedule this year was just insane. There are so many schools playing so far away, Bowie, Baltimore, all over the place. And you understood how all this happened. Maybe we don't want to get into that right now, but right now – you guys had to schedule things, and you're now a 2A school.
Correct.
And you were just saying – you want to say what you were saying about how hard the 2A conference is?
Well, obviously, if you – a couple different things there. But, yeah, the 2A West, I would say, probably has six of the best eight teams in all of 2A in the region. So only four of them will get into the playoffs. So, I mean, that's certainly one place to start. But with the conference – and stuff that you talked about from a football perspective. Now, not all the other sports in Frederick County, but from a football perspective, you know, frankly, we don't have much of a conference left. It's just the Frederick County teams, and Catoctin, Brunswick, and Frederick have gone independent, and they're not playing for the conference title or the other teams in the county. So that only leaves the other seven of us, and I don't even think all of them are all playing each other. So I don't know if we have a conference champion still. I'm assuming we do. But all the things it seems like it's been done on the conference level have been about the other sports and not about football. So,
that's a shame. It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. It did, as you said, that scheduling that you're talking about, well, that was a direct correlation of that. There was less guaranteed games, so we all had to go out and find games. I personally got 54 no's.
Wow.
From 50. So we contacted over 60 schools.
Wow.
Some didn't even get back to us. Over 50 said no, and I was lucky enough to get four to say yes. Now, that takes me some places like Kent Island and and like you said, in Bowie.
Nice trip, though.
Bowie and a few other places down the road. But we had to do whatever we could do to get 10 games because it was not an easy task.
I checked earlier, and it ranked DeMatha, I believe, as one of the top 25 teams in the country.
Yeah, thank goodness we don't play them, right?
Yeah. Well, not so far. But I've never understood how they do the rankings. It's so much politics, I'm sure. But as far as the state of Maryland's concerned, I think you've got to begin now looking at Frederick County as one of the best conferences, one of the best places to play in the state for football.
Oh, no doubt. I think when you talk about the playoffs and like where, you know, you talk about that region and how hard it might be able to make it, I think the advantage and disadvantage is all in the same in Frederick County. On a week in and week out basis, we play better teams than most teams in the state because the teams in Frederick County are very, very good. All the teams in Frederick County that are playing the Frederick County schedule have an extremely challenging schedule. So, you know, on one hand, it's bad because it makes it maybe difficult to make the playoffs if you take some losses. But if you come across as wins, you are battle-tested when you get there. You're ready. You know, so that's kind of the approach that we've taken the last few years is, you know, we like the Frederick County schedule. We're all about it. We love the competition. We love the local rivalries. And, you know, we feel like it's made us better. And so it's given us a better chance in the playoffs. Yes, we have not been able to get around the 28-0 Damascus Hornets yet in the playoffs the last 2 years. So we'll see if we can change that this year. But aside from them, you know, we've fared really well against pretty much everybody. And I think a lot of that is the fact that we get tested on a week-in and week-out basis and we're ready.
You know, talking rivalry games, okay, you're a fairly new school. But it seems to me one of your biggest rivals has to be Ligonier.
No doubt.
And it's a kind of a very strange rivalry because it's like brothers, if you know what I mean.
Well, if you look, I mean, the schools are, what, 4 or 5 miles apart?
It's about that,
right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously when you're that close to somebody, I mean, the kids are all going to know each other. They probably played youth ball together and different things. So, I mean, I think anytime two schools are that close in proximity, you're going to have a little bit of a rivalry there. And I would say we certainly do with them.
And I've got to say that, once again, I think some of the best school support from the students has to be Oakdale. Your student section, every time I've done a game, and whether it be basketball or whatever, they're always exemplary. They're always out there cheering for your team. And, I mean, they really do a great job.
It's one of my favorite parts of being the coach at Oakdale. I'm not going to lie. I love it. I mean, the energy that they bring, I mean, they always have some kind of crazy theme going. We go down to the stadium 1 hour and 15 minutes before kickoff. That's our routine. We take all of our equipment down there. Kids get all situated. Every time when we walk out of the building to walk across the parking lot to go down there, all the students are already out there tailgating, playing cornhole, blaring music, you know, but it's fantastic. We love it. You know, I always feel ready for the game during that national anthem when we're on the sideline and they belt out that big O during the national anthem from the student section and I get the goosebumps on my arm and I know it's time to go. We are extremely fortunate to have the support we do, not just from the students, but if you come to any of our games, they're extremely well attended. It's loud, it's raucous, and it's pretty neat, to be honest, with you at the high school level. It's awesome.
It's also one of the prettiest spots in the county to watch a football game. We've got a number of them, and yours is one of them.
That landscape is a change, though,
know,
if you've been out there.
I saw that last
There's
year.
There's a lot of houses and stuff.
You still got the mountains in the distance.
If you go up Oakdale right now, it's a lot more like a war zone than a school campus, that's for sure. The construction is everywhere, but we will deal with that as it comes.
It may push you into 3A again.
I would say that's very likely to happen.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And like we were talking before, you're saying Urbana is now 4A.
Correct.
And it's been a couple of years since they were 4A. They were always good. And a lot of people thought, oh, my God, they're 3A. They're going to be unstoppable. Hasn't quite been that way. Any football program has its ups and downs over the years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just high school sports in general, right? Different groups of kids come through, fluctuate. You know, it's just one of those things.
It is. Now, you've been there. This is your eighth year, right? You've been varsity now 7 years, but you had a JV team the 1 year. And you've seen, I think, without question, incremental improvement every year. And the team's gotten better. The community support has grown to where it's one of the best places, I think, for a home team to play. And we've seen some really good, once again, talk about Ligonier. We've seen some great games between you guys and Ligonier. What are the students looking for? What are the faculty and the parents looking for you guys to do this year? I'm not asking you because I know what you want to do this year.
I hope they expect us to win, right? I mean, that's what you want. I think you know, some of the success has led to some of that support. You know, it's a good product, I think, on Friday night to come watch. So I think that's going for us. But you know, I don't know what everybody else expects, but we're trying to win. And I'm sure they're trying – they want us to win as well. That's what it seems like.
Well, what I was saying in a very bad way, is there one game in particular, one rival in particular that they really would like to see you guys
beat? I mean, I think anytime it's Ligonier or Urbana or even Tuscarora, you know, someone like that that's close, we seem like the attendance goes shooting up. I mean, and also it depends on who else is rolling. I guarantee when we play Walkersville this year, the place is going to be packed over there, right? I mean, 2A state champs, you know. So I think a lot of it just depends on what people see to be as a great game, a great matchup. You know, we played Walkersville last year at our place. I think it was week 7. We were both undefeated. I mean, it was jam-packed over there, people on the track, on the fences, you know. So I think depending on how everybody's doing has a lot to do with that, because I think you get a lot of people maybe that aren't Walkersville or aren't Oakdale people, but they're like, I'm going to go watch that game, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So I think it just kind of depends on how we're doing. Hopefully if we're winning and doing well, then we can be part of a couple of games like that.
Let me ask you about your staff. Have you got anybody new?
You know, we're keeping it fairly consistent on the varsity level. We are bringing in Adam Wetzel, who has worked with Jerry at TJ and Vince over at Tuscarora for years as our offensive line guy. He's got a lot of experience in the spread, which is, you know, what we do. And there was an opportunity there, and we were lucky enough to convince him to come over. But aside from that, it's pretty much the same. Coach Doc is still going to be our defensive coordinator. He has been the last few years. Does a fantastic job. Don Duman, the old head coach at Frederick, will be over there as linebackers coach with him. Steve Moore's been our D-line coach for years. He'll be there with Coach Doc. Greg Mahalko has been my wide receivers coach and kind of my right-hand man on offense for almost as long as Oakdale's been open. He was there with the first year with us and Dad took another job and then came back. He's been there with forever. And Bob LaCisser does our running backs and our special teams, you know. So that's kind of where we're at. It's pretty much the same. You know, the JV guys have come and gone a little bit, but, you know, we got a lot of them back as well.
But they're proven. They've worked together. They've got things running.
Yeah, I mean, there's not going to be any surprises when we go out there first day of practice. Everybody knows what their job is. As a matter of fact, when I leave here, we have a staff meeting after this. So we'll get everything on board after I get out of the studio.
And this is being recorded on a weeknight. So you people think he's working on Sunday. I'm sure he is, but not like we just talked about.
Absolutely.
When's the first organized practice?
August 9th. August 9th, that Wednesday.
Boy, it's so close.
Yeah, it's definitely getting close, yeah. So August 9th will be our first days in just helmets, you know, shorts and T-shirts, and we'll get it going.
Yeah, the old two-a-days are long gone.
Now this year now, Ed, now, I'm sure you read in the newspaper with the late start to school. So the two-a-days were gone mainly because the way the rule states is you couldn't have one until, I think it's day 6 mm-hmm. of practice or whatever. And by the time we were allowed to have two-a-days, teachers were back in school. So it was really hard to do that. And then you could only have one every other day and stuff. Well, since they pushed that start way back and we're still starting practice at the same time, we're actually going to have 4 this year.
Really?
Yeah. So the way the calendar worked out with when we were allowed to have them and then, you know, every other day and following all the rules, we were able to fit 4 of them into the calendar, so we're going to go for it.
Well, I'm sure the students are horrified that they don't go back until September.
I'm sure they are. It's a little
weird,
though.
When I grew up, that's the way it was.
When we go down to Digital Harbor week 1, we won't be in school yet, the kids. Now, the teachers will be, but the kids won't be in school yet. So I've never experienced that as a coach yet, playing a game before we're in school.
Well, it's like the NFL preseason, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Frederick County Sports Weekend with Pete McLeod and Ed Lilly. I'm Ed Lilly. Pete will be back next week. Brought to you by Nimio Federal Credit Union. And we're talking with head coach of the Oakdale Bears, Kurt Steiner. I'm talking with you. And thanks for coming on the show again. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Great time of the year. You want to tell us what the team's looking like?
You know, we've had a great summer. We love our summer conditioning program. Coach Shannon Wallace comes in and helps us out with that. And the kids have been working hard. I like where things are going. I mean, I always want a little bit more, and I think we could get there. But You know, we have a lot of guys back with a lot of experience. We got some young guys from a talented JV team that are going to be joining us. So, you know, there's work to be done, but there's certainly things that are looking good. We got, you know, we bring back four senior captains that have been varsity guys for 4 years. I mean, Bryce DeMalley has 17 Division I offers at this point in time.
Wow.
So he's certainly a guy that we're going to be looking to, you know, but there's definitely some talent there. Now we'll see if we can hone them in together and get them to be a unit. But, you know, things are looking good at this point.
And you're talking about the line, too?
I like the line. You know, we bring back 2.5 starters. We had Dustin Weedy and Bobby Kaler started every single game for us last year. And we have a rising junior that played quite a bit as a sophomore named Chris Desmond. Those three guys have a lot of experience. We're really going to be leaning on the seniors, Dustin and Bobby, a lot to kind of lead the unit. And then the other two spots, you know, are kind of open, but we have two seniors in Matt Warner and Chris Yacoubian that could be in there. We got young guys and Sean Gibbons, Tyree Jones. Got a sophomore in Ben Bevilacqua. You know, we got a kid named Frankie Blazer. We got a lot of kids that are going to be competing in there. A kid named Lewis Smith, you know. So we're going to kind of just let them get in camp. We'll play 10 of them all camp, and we'll just kind of let whoever rises to the top take the job.
Have you decided on quarterback?
Well, I mean, you know, I'd like to say everything's always open, but I feel pretty safe that Colin Schley is going to be our quarterback, younger brother of our starter last year, Corey. I mean, you probably know Colin a lot from basketball last year. Well, he played a little quarterback for us, and he played slot receiver for us on varsity last year.
I remember.
I started the Catoctin game when his brother was injured. He did extremely well. He looks good. He looks real good. I think he might be ready to catch Frederick County by surprise.
I can see it in your eyes. You're excited.
I'm always excited. But I think he potentially could be a one heck of a player. So we'll see what happens.
And you've got some receivers for him to throw to.
Well, you got Bryce. I mean, that's the place to start, right? I mean, you start with Bryce. He was led the county last year as a junior in all receiving categories, receptions, yards, average, and touchdowns. Led it all. So you start there. We have some guys that have played spot around that are good. Logan Carey has been a defensive guy for us. It's a good receiver. Noah Miller is a good receiver. Blake Baxter is a good receiver. You know, so we got a kid named John Button that can get it done. So we have a lot of receivers, and you know how our system works. We play a lot of them. You know, we'll probably play 6 or 7 of them on any given Friday night. So we'll let those guys kind of battle that out for those minutes in the other spots. But they all can get it done. I mean, I would be confident, I think, in having any of them out there.
I think one of the things that's fun about your team is they're explosive. And they have the ability to really get you up out of your seat watching some of those plays. They did last year. I suspect they'll do it again this year.
I mean, that's kind of our philosophy. You know, we play up-tempo. We play in the spread. I mean, we go for the jugular, so to speak, on every single snap. So, being explosive is definitely part of what our game plan is. It's part of our identity. That's part of who we are. That's how we practice. So I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's certainly what we're going for. We don't care about time of possession or how many plays a drive is. We care about points. How many points can you score, right? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, they still let the team win who has more points than the other team, not the team that had the ball the longest or ran the most plays or anything like that. So our guys know that if it's there, if I have a run play on and the vertical shot's there, quarterback can take the vertical shot. He understands that. I'm okay with that. You know, we're trying to put points on the board.
I think your quarterback situation has been rather spectacular. I've seen some of the things those guys have done. They've been very deceptive.
Well, we've had 4 kids in a row. 4 1-year starters, 4 first-team all-area quarterbacks, 4 kids playing quarterback in college. So, you know, yeah, the position has
been— You've got to smile about that.
The position's been fantastic. It has. We've been very fortunate that we've had 4 guys in a row. It's basically all the quarterbacks in school history. that can get it done. And I think we got another one. And, you know, we got a young guy named Ethan Reefer that's pretty good. We got an incoming ninth grader that's pretty good. I like the eighth grade kid. I like the seventh grade kid. So I think that position, you know, I joke with the kids and say that Oakdale's quarterback you with them. I always joke with them and say that. But it's kind of true. We've had some really good ones, and the future looks bright there. And the one thing about the system, as you said, with the explosive offense, you know, you have to have a quarterback or that system isn't really doable, you know. So as long as we keep having a guy behind center that can get it done, then, you know, I like our chances of being able to keep running it.
How's the defense look this year?
Defense looks good. We bring back some key guys. Bryce comes back. He also plays end. Logan Carey is our will, and he's been there for 3 years, and George Stoltz is our strong safety, been there for 3 years, so you start right there. Dustin Whedon played every game at end last year, so your four captains all come back as starters on defense. You like that. Mario Goings played a ton of linebacker last year, actually ended up second on the team in tackles as a sophomore, so he'll be a junior, and he's going to kind of slide into that Mike role and kind of take over the quarterback of the defense kind of thing, if you will. And then the rest of it will be guys that played some last year and some guys rising from JV competing. They're all fast. They're very fast. You know, they move well. They have hips well. So we'll play the same style of defense as we've always played, which is to run to the football, tackle, contain, bend, don't break. You know, the defense has been extremely good the last couple years. And we feel like we have the same kind of kids. We just, they got to get a little experience in some spots.
Now, if you go to the school website and look up the football team, you'll have the schedule there, right?
I'm assuming, yeah.
I will hope so. And you'll have directions on how people can get to Digital Harbor, which is a fairly new school in Baltimore, right?
Well, they play their games at Swan Park. There's a turf field at Swan Park down there in Baltimore, and that's where Digital Harbor plays their games. So the game is there at Swan Park. We were supposed to go to Bowie on a Saturday, week three, but they had a problem with their field, so they're actually going to come to us.
Oh.
So we're going to play six home games next year on a change of the schedule. So that will be back to a Friday night at our place. And, you know, so.
So that's the first home game?
Yes. No, first home game is Bladensburg. So we got to go to Digital. Yeah, we go to Digital Harbor. Like I said, scheduling.
Another team.
The teams that said yes.
I worked down there once upon a time, but I don't remember the football team.
Yeah, so they got a new coach, Byron Westbrook's brother, actually. Played at Salisbury. He was an All-American. So I'm sure they'll be good. So we'll go to Digital. Bladensburg will come to us. Bowie will come to us. And then Urbana will come to us. So that's how we'll start the first month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Urbana.
At least three of them are at home, right?
Yeah. 4A school, though.
Hey, 4A school.
Counts a lot. This year, with the schedule the way it is, and what you were telling me is they're pretty locked for the same thing happening next year?
Yeah, so in Maryland, it's always 2 years. So you do the schedule, then you play it in reverse, home and away, and then we redo again.
So are we hopeful at all that some sanity may prevail in the future?
You have to ask somebody who has a bigger paycheck than me on that. You know, I don't make any of those decisions. I just, you know, whatever they tell me, that's what we do. So I don't know. You know, it's hard to say with that kind of stuff. I'm sure you have to get some of the leaders of the various counties in the room and maybe hash some things out. You know, if we're just being honest, part of the problem is what we talked about earlier, that Frederick County has become very good at football.
It has.
So I don't think a lot of other places are itching to jump into a contractual agreement where they have to play us all every year.
They don't want to be the homecoming team.
You know, I think that has a little bit to do with it, that people would rather stay where they are than have to play us all. And, hey, I get it. I play us all, so I know how rigorous it can be.
But that's how you get better.
I would agree with that. You know, we've always taken that philosophy even before we had turned the corner and we were really good. We played a really hard schedule. You know, I talked to a lot of coaches around the state, and some agree with me and some don't. You know, I know a lot of people that I talked to this year when we were trying to make the schedule simply said, listen, it's too hard to make the playoffs. We can't play a team that we may lose to. You know, I don't subscribe to that philosophy. I think it's ridiculous. But at the same time, I understand where they're coming from. But that was most of the notice we got had to do with that. Wow. Listen, if we play you, you're good enough that you might beat us, so we're not going to play you.
That's sad.
I think so. You know, so I think the only way you fix that is kind of what you're talking about a little bit, is that we have to join an agreement with people and be like, these are the rules, these are who you're going to play, and that's how it's going to be. I mean, quite frankly, it doesn't really matter to me, Ed. I'll go to Kent Island. I'll go to Bowie. I'll go. We went to Delaware last year. I don't care. You know what I mean? We'll go wherever the games are. That's fine with me. So if nobody wants to join in those agreements, that's okay too. We'll go wherever we got to go to play some football. We're going to play 10 football games. I promise you that. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that schedule. I'll let all those people figure that out and let me know what my games are, and then I'll go find the rest, I guess.
Wow. We're almost out of time. We are almost out of time, and it's a shame because it's so much fun talking to you guys in the beginning of the season. You've got a new head coach at Middletown who I helped coach years ago. Really young guy, nice guy, Colin DeLauder. And
I remember when I used to be the young guy in the room. That's changing
that's
quickly.
That's true. It is. I can't believe it. I mean,
it's changing.
I can't believe it was so long ago. But while everything changes, there's some things that are consistent and continue to be there every fall. And I think this fall in some ways is more traditional in the fact that it's one of the first times in many, many years that the start of school has been after September 1st. But you're saying this gives you guys a lot more time.
I think it's good for fall sports as far as preparation goes, really. I mean, like you said, the kids won't be in school. The teachers won't be in school. We'll be focused on football. So, yeah, I think it's good for us. You know, it is what those kind of things you don't ever get too worked up about as a coach, right? I mean, yeah, exactly. So whenever it is and when we can have practice and we can, or two-a-days and can't, you know, for years here we haven't had two-a-days. We figured it out. It was fine, right? And we got a couple this year, and that will be fine too. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a positive for us for sure. The late start definitely gives us more time to prepare. The beginning of the season is always the hardest to get ready. There's so much to do. So if you give us a little bit more time, yeah, we're certainly going to take that.
Academics is always important too. With an earlier start, does it give you a chance to try to get a jump start on some of the kids that might need help?
Yeah, I mean, there's different things that come in with that. Like if a kid had trouble last year, it might be bad for him because anybody who would be ineligible won't be eligible now till like the seventh game.
That's something I hadn't thought
of. So that's certainly maybe a negative. But at the same time, you know, guys got to get the job done when they got to get the job done. We're very fortunate. We definitely have programs in place to help those guys. But we also had double-digit guys on the team last year that had 4.0s. So, you know, our guys get it done.
About the school and the program.
I think so. I think, it's a wonderful place to work. It's a great school, so much so that I just moved my family to be in district and make sure my two boys go there. You know, so that's how much I think of it. That's how much I think of the place and the community and how special it is. You know, I'm making sure that there's no bumps in the road to make sure my sons can go to Oakdale. So, you know, it's a great place. There's no doubt about it.
If you just tuned in, you've been listening to Frederick County Sports Weekend with Ed Lilly and Pete McLeod. Pete will be back next week, brought to you by Nimeo Federal Credit Union. And we've had a wonderful conversation, or I have anyway, with Kurt Stein, the head coach of the Oakdale Bears. Kurt, thanks for coming back. I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to this season.
Anytime, Ed. Now, listen, I want you guys to make sure you come to a couple games. You know, my parents back in Wheeling, West Virginia, when they can't make it, appreciate it. When my wife's got the boys, my wife Megan, when she's got the sons at home and she can't make it, she always tunes in. So make sure you guys get to Oakdale a lot to keep my family up to date, all right?
We will do our best, absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in. Please tune in again next weekend for Frederick County Sports Weekend, and have a wonderful and safe day.